Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Welcome up once again to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We've been on the air almost 2 years now. And it's been fun. It's been great fun for me, folks. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. From my understanding, we're going to have some really severe. They said we have actually dodged the bad weather. You know what? Every time the meteorologists say that we've dodged the bad weather, it simply means that they were wrong when they first forecasted bad weather. They give themselves an out by saying we've dodged bad weather here in Chicago. We haven't dodged anything. They were just wrong. And now they're saying that it's going to get a lot colder, a lot more chillier than what it was. I remember a few days ago they were saying it's going to be in the 60s and 70s. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, these guys are wrong all the time. And when they get caught being wrong, they say, wow, we just dodged some bad weather. We've dodged it. But now it's going to get colder. The temperatures are going to start falling. So that's just their, in my opinion, that's just their way of trying to cover their asses by saying we dodged a bullet. The weather forecasters in the United States, as you probably know, they just can't seem to get this right. However, those folks up there in Canada, they are right on the money when they're predicting weather. But somehow, the United States just cannot get this weather prediction correct. Even with all their power Dopplers and all of their southerly flow and all of this kind of, with all their maps and stuff, they just can't seem to get it accurate. And when they can't get it accurate, you know, it's always, we dodged a bullet. We were lucky or something like that. They're trying to cover their butt. But you should. You know, I mean, these guys predict the weather, but one day they're going to get it right. I mean, Channel 7, I think they've got a brand new weather, Max 7 or something like that, and they still can't predict the weather accurately. You know, so they're going to blame it on climate change, El Nino, or whatever. You know, but they still can't seem to get it accurate. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And also, staying on the weather point, 34 million people, including Illinois, is in the path of severe storms. Great Lakes, from the Great Lakes to the Gulf Coast. So there's no doubt about it, folks. We got to actually stay vigilant and stay safe. These storms, I mean, it's springtime, and this is what happens when spring is sprung. Bad weather, tornadoes, hurricanes, not just in the Carolinas, not just in the Caribbean, but, you know, all over the United States. Bad weather, I mean, you know, usually tornadoes and hurricanes do not hit cities, but now, hey, wow, they are more prevalent in cities than they are in the Caribbean. So it's so you have to stay prevalent to that. And if bad weather is coming your way, I mean, get to the basement, get to the bathroom, somewhere. Get away from windows. Stay away from windows. You know, that's the most important thing. And let's hope we can get through this severe weather. As I've said to many times, even to guests on this show, whenever we have in bad weather, is sometimes it messes with the frequency of this radio show. And just about any other radio show, anything, television, internet, you know, your iPhone, your smartphone, bad weather just seem to, you know, cause technical problems. And I always tell my guests to be aware of those things. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago on Black Talk Radio, Internet Radio. I am your talk show host. My guest is Jaya Kelp. And I just got through speaking with her, folks. She said, "What am I going to talk about? What do you want me to talk about?" I said, "Talk about what you know." And I get guests like this from some time to time. "What do you want me to talk about? What am I going to say? What time do you go on? What time do your show start?" You know, I'm pretty sure she doesn't sound like that. And, you know, so Jaya Kraup, K-R-U-P-P. Will be on the show. She's not an author. I thought she was an author when I first asked her to be on the show. Actually, she contacted me to be on the show. But she sounds like a nice person, a wonderful person. Sounds like she may have something to offer you and me by being on the show. I try to book people on the show who have something to say and something to offer. So you and I can learn. You know, I never stop learning. Even at this age, I never stop learning. I'm always eager to learn. I've always been eager to learn, even when I was a teenager, you know. I mean, not even a teenager, but hey, wow, a child. I was always eager to learn, eager to know. As a child, I used to hang around people who were older than I was because I always felt that as a child, those who were my age couldn't tell me anything. I always wanted to listen to older people, people who were in the know, people who had the knowledge to, you know, take me further in the mind games, if I said that properly. Well, anyway, you can look me up on Facebook. I'm on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over the places. So as a lot of other folks, you know. And I'm so glad to be on the show today. I want to thank all my guests for, you know, so far this week. This is Thursday. Actually, this is the last day of March. March, yeah, and tomorrow will be, if you're podcasting or listening to the show a little later, tomorrow is April 1st, April Fool's. April's Fool's Day, and that's interesting. That's interesting. So I want to thank all my guests for being on the show this past week. Great. They are all marvelous. And I always thank my guests because they don't have to come on if they don't want to. They come on because they feel that I'm going to give a great interview or a great conversation. And they most of the time, my guests listen to the show beforehand before they decide to come on. And that's great. That's great. So they can get a feel for what the show is going to be about and get the feel for myself as the talk show. As the talk show host. You know, folks, sometimes my tongue gets tired. It gets twisted. I stutter sometimes. But, you know, I'm learning. I'm constantly learning. So let's move right along. Let's move right along into the show. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. Thank you. Gunfire at Greyhound bus station shooting. Gunman on open fire. That seems, you know, I mean, are we becoming numb to this violence? I mean, because a lot of times there is so much violence going on all over the world. And when I hear about, you know, someone getting shot or a mall being shot up, explosion, terrorism, I just say, hey, wow, it's just another day in America. I don't want to become numb to this. But it happens so much and so often. You can't disrupt your life. You can't stop doing what you're doing because you're afraid to go out to the store. You may not come back alive, you know, so you just really have to keep up with your life and be vigilant about those around you and who you meet. I had a guest on the show yesterday, and she was talking about getting the clutter out of your life. And you know what? That inspired me to clean out my closet. But, you know, when she was talking clutter, she was also talking like closet. But basically, she was saying getting the clutter out of your life, getting the people out of your life that do not support you, people who are not friendly, people who are just assholes. That's basically what she was saying. But getting back, I was doing a little bit of spring cleaning, you know, and we were doing a little bit of spring cleaning. I don't want to take all the credit, but and that felt good. You know, we do it about once a year. We should do it more often. I do think we're going to start doing it more often because it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to know that the closet, I can find stuff now, you know, in the closet. Okay, so we just got through talking about gunfire at the Greyhound bus station in Richmond, Virginia. Wow. So, no, I'm not going numb to some of this violence, because if you grow numb to it, you're just going to turn a blind eye to it. So I don't want to turn a blind eye to it. I want to be one of those people out here who are trying to come up with solutions to end violence. But that is just I don't think it's a pipe dream. I think it can be done, but everybody has to work in unison for that to happen. All right, let's move right along. U.S. soccer superstars sue for equal pay. Wow, I don't. This is another problem where men are being paid more than women. And I don't blame them. One of the things that bothers me here is that this women's soccer team, U.S. soccer team, they have won more games. They have garnered more awards, more medals than the men. And the men, they get paid more than these girls, women, when the men are losers. So I'm kind of on the side of these young ladies, this soccer team, U.S. soccer team, on getting them more pay. I mean, this is United States. This is the United States, and we should treat people equally. Obama was always talking about equal pay for equal work, and somehow it was just talk. Clinton is talking about equal pay for women, and it seemed like that's just talk. You know, so these women are getting out there on their own and saying, we're tired of the talk. We want to be paid just as much as the men. And I don't blame them. They're busting their asses. And in some cases, they're doing a better job than the men, especially in terms of being on the soccer team and being, you know, being a part of the U.S., soccer teams, and they're being called superstars, and they are. They really are. So I'm going to click on this and see what else it says. Wow, for once in a while, the computer is working properly. That that doesn't happen a lot. Sometimes I gotta, you know, sometimes I could, you know, click on something on the computer here, and then I can click on something on the computer here and then maybe go bake a cake, come back, it has changed. That's how slow it can be sometimes. Then, I mean, suddenly it just, I click on something, wow, it changes, you know. And I'm not going to speak too fast because it could go back to being super, super slow again. And a lot of times when your computer is slow, it's not anything else. It's just, it could be the service provider, or it could be your modem. It could be your router if you use those things. And sometimes it may be even your Wi-Fi if you have Wi-Fi. You know, Wi-Fi can be very slow. I was shocked it came up. Okay, United States Women's National Soccer Team files lawsuit against U.S. soccer and fight for equal pay. I don't blame them. All right. Five of the biggest names on the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team roster filed a complaint against the U.S. Soccer Federation on Wednesday. That was yesterday. Demanding equal pay for equal work. I just got through saying that. And calling on an investigation of what they believe to be U.S. soccer discriminatory wage practices. There's discriminatory wage practices all over the United States, if not all over the world. And I don't understand why some people actually out there, some groups out there actually think women are second and third class citizens. They do. I mean, they think women are second and third class citizens, you know, especially someone like Donald Trump. And we'll get into that later because he's in a lot of trouble. I mean, he's in a bunch of trouble with women everywhere. From my understanding, 70% of the women within the United States don't like it. They would never vote for him. It may be higher than that now. It could be 100%. And he's out there right now trying to backpedal on the things he said about abortion and the women should be punished. But Donald Trump says a lot of things about women. And it's obviously that this guy don't think women should be in the same or even getting the same pay as men. It's obvious that this guy and I don't really think this guy is going to be president of the United States. He's totally unfit for that. He's totally unfit. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show broadcasting live out of Chicago. And I touched on this subject yesterday. 6,000 people moving out of Chicago. Why? I've heard people talk about this. 6,000 people moving out of Chicago. And I've watched one young lady. She was saying that most of the people that are moving out of Chicago are poor people. Yes, she said the poor people are moving out of Chicago. I have a problem with that. She's saying, let me say this again, this young lady, I will not give her name, she said that poor people are moving out of the city of Chicago. Now, let me tell you what I think. I don't buy that statement. Yes, people are leaving, of course. There's no doubt. But poor people? How can a poor person move out of the city of Chicago if they're poor? If you're poor, you don't have any money. You don't have any resources. You don't have anything. So how in the hell can you get up and move? Poor people are going to stay where they are because they can't move. They don't have anything to move on. What are they going to do? Use food stamps? That has been tried, folks. So I disagree with her. But she did say something that I agreed with. I don't think people should be leaving their communities at all. But it's happening. People are leaving. Okay. But I don't think people should be leaving their community at all. Because when you leave your community because it's crime ridden, you're giving that community up to the bad guys. The bad guys are going to love to see you go. They're going to say, we pushed them out. We pushed them out. You know, my thing is to stay and fight for your community. You love where you live. You love your community. You love your neighborhood. Do not let the dirt bags make you want to leave because you're playing into their hands. Take back your community. And if you are poor, and you can move out of the city of Chicago, you're poor. And if you move, you're going to move into another poor neighborhood, another poor community. Poverty everywhere. And as we all know, poverty and self, being poor, breeds crime. So instead of moving and going to another poor neighborhood, stay in the neighborhood you have and fight for that area, that neighborhood, and get the gangbangers out, get the prostitutes out, get the whores out, get the thugs out, and rebuild your community. Take it back. But some people have left. The south side, the west side of Chicago, they're gone. And that's bad because they're gone, but the bad people are still there. Fight for your community. I've said this before in some other shows, some back shows. Fight for your shows. Fight for yourself. Fight for your community. It's your community. A lot of the gangbangers in those communities, they don't even live there. They come from other areas of the city and decide that they're going to park their asses over there on the south side and intimidate and scare people and shoot and kill. A lot of these guys, they just come from anywhere and just decide that, oh, I like this community. I like this neighborhood. I'm going to get the boys. You know, so fight for what you want. Don't give it up to the bad guys, because if you do, they win. They win. And like I said before, if you're poor, you can't go anywhere. But there are people those who can afford to move, and they're pissed off at the crime. They're pissed off at the governor. They're pissed off at the mayor. They're pissed off at the public schools. They have left, but they can afford to leave. They can afford to leave. And a lot of people are and have left Chicago. That is no doubt about it. You can ask any media person. They will tell you that. And the statistics, they will show it. But you don't want to leave your community. Because if you leave it, like I just said, you're giving in to the bad guys. You're giving in to the criminals. And they're going to watch you as you leave, and they're going to be laughing. So, folks, at the sound of my voice, if you're thinking about leaving your community, I would probably say don't. But I cannot make or force anybody to stay in a crime-ridden area. You know, but if there's any way possible for you to remain where you are and fight for your neighborhood, fight for your community, take it back from the drug addicts, the whores, the prostitutes, the bad guys, the drug addicts, the drug users, the dopeies or whatever. Take your community back. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're expecting Jaya Kraup to be on the show today. And hopefully she will have something interesting to talk about that we all can be interested in. I will be right back. Stay with me. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. That's always fun. That is always fun. Thanks, folks. Hope it wasn't too much. All right. They're saying that Illinois is on the verge of collapse. You know, because all of these universities and these colleges are closing up and packing up, and the students are being displaced because they are not being funded. And that's true. That is so true. Illinois is on the verge of collapsing. We've got a dysfunctional governor. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's cutting, cutting, slicing, cutting, slicing, cutting. And he's blaming some. He's always blaming somebody else. And we all know, every single person, individual in the state of Illinois knows whose fault it is. It is the fault of the governor. But he's always trying to throw this on the Democrats. He is the governor of Illinois. Anything that's going wrong in his town, his name is on it. And he's just trying to make fools out of the rest of us, thinking we don't know, thinking we might be stupid. Well, there are some stupid people around, but not everybody is stupid, I hope. So Illinois is on the verge of collapse. And these people, including the legislature in Illinois, they are just letting it happen. They are letting it happen. Colleges and universities, institutions of higher education are being shut down. And people are pissed. There's going to be a demonstration downtown tomorrow, rallies on this thing. And I'm going to be right down there with them, helping them to bash this governor. He's a Republican governor. This guy has not done a thing since a year or so in office. Nothing. He's bashed unions. I mean, that's not going to happen because he has already been dealt two blows. He's lost twice, okay? And that's not going to happen. So he just, you know, moping around the state, blaming the Democrats for something that he has done or has not done. All this guy's got to do is sign a budget. Schools will be funded. Sign a budget. Universities and colleges will begin to open their doors again. But you know what? Once these things happen, it's hard for them to get back on their feet again, even with the funding, because, you know, he is just tearing his state apart by his lack of leadership. He is no leader. He's no politician. He doesn't know a thing about governing. Illinois is the only state in America without a budget. We're going into our 10th month without a budget. And nobody seems to give a damn. There's no movement. There's no compromising. Nobody's meeting. There's nobody voting on anything to get things done. It's just like, hey, wow, the hell with Illinois. Let it blow up. You know, they don't care. They don't care. They don't like each other. Bruce Rauner probably don't like Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan don't give a damn about Bruce Rauner. And the people in the middle, stuck in between all this garbage. Schools, colleges, the disabled, and the seniors are being, oh man, affected by all of this. Autism, the mentally ill, those who are caretakers, caregivers. I mean, you name it, you go down the line. This guy refused to fund those programs because he can't get the bus unions. Simple as that. He goes around and say, well, we don't have the money. We don't have the money. But if the legislature was the Democratic legislature would let him bus unions, he'd have the money in a minute. We'd have a budget. But let's say if we got a budget today, it still would be chaos because a lot of these programs that have been upended would have problems starting over again from scratch. This is what I've been told and have heard, and I do agree with that. You know, so this is crazy. And now they're talking about a budget for 2017. You haven't got a budget for 2016. There will probably not be a budget for 2017. Illinois is on the verge of collapse. But I'm not going to get up and leave. I'm not going to get up and just get on a train or get on an airplane and just leave my state. I'm going to stay here and fight. Because what he's doing is wrong. And all he's doing is blaming other people. Blaming other people, and that's all he's ever done. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let me see what else we have here. Fraternal Order of Police. Oh, man, this is another thing I have to talk about. You might have heard this. Jason Van Dyke given a job with the Fraternal Order of Police. If you don't know who they are, that's the union for the police. And Jason Van Dyke is a guy that was convicted of shooting Laquan McDonald in Chicago 16 times in the back, or, you know, 16 times in general. And now he's getting a job. If I was caught with a marijuana stick, I mean, nobody would hire me. But this guy shoots somebody and he gets a job. So there's a lot of protesting going all over the Chicago because of that. Because this is just a slap in the face of some of the citizens of Chicago. This shows you how the police force works. Oh, we'll talk about that later. We'll get to that a little later on into the show. Let's go to the phones. All righty. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Jaya.
You know what? Maya.
You know, I had another lady on the show with Jaya. I would call her Jaya, and she would say, George, Jaya. it's a beautiful name. I like it. It's a four letter name. It's great. And your last name is Krupp. Krupp.
Yeah, I go by Jaya Rose on social media and such, just because it's a little easier. That's my middle name, but my last name is Krupp. So
okay,
Jaya Rose.
Great.
Is
good. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the
Thank
show.
Thank you.
All right. Give us a little bio.
Okay. Well, I am an online personal trainer and life coach. So I do everything via videos and phone calls and such with my clients. It's really, you know, the wave of the future, the wave of the present, as you probably know.
Yes.
But, you know, I specialize in helping big-hearted, busy mamas. So those women, like we all know them, maybe it's your wife or your friend or your mom, but those women who just give so much to everybody. You know, they're like, they're good at everything they do, but they just always neglect themselves slightly.
Okay.
You know, and they have this potential that's like brewing up inside of them. And if they were to give that a little bit of their own juice and their own attention, then they could do amazing things with their life. And they're going to. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really tend to meet them right at that point where they're like, okay, I've had enough of this. Like, I've been a mom, I've been a wife, I have this career, whatever, but none of it's really fulfilling because I'm missing that little piece that's really about focusing on myself and tapping into that deep inner knowing. I call it intuition, or like your gifts, your purpose, those type of things.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're more like a motivator, a motivational speaker. You try to encourage people to be happy in relationships and stuff like that. To try to fulfill something like maybe getting the clutter out of their life and living the best life you can.
It's right. That clutter. I love that analogy because I have had a lot of clutter in my house or like clothes on my floor. Like this.
Me too.
I mean? It's so easy, right? It's like we look around and we see it, but that internal clutter is, it's some ways easier to ignore. I've seen people who have really clean houses and you know they have a lot of internal clutter going on. And it's just like it's acceptable to ignore ourselves, and it's acceptable to eat too much sugar and to get fat and to be unhealthy and to drink too much. And this is like normal, completely normal in our society.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and to me, that is all clutter, and it's on a higher level. And trust me, I mean, we got to balance. That's not like I'm perfect. But,
yeah.
You know, if we can get a lot of it out of the way, there is potential for more of our true self to come out.
Okay, clutter can be a lot more than just, you know, something that's in your closet that needs to be thrown away. Do you believe that clutter can also be people around you, negative people around you?
Yeah. You know, I don't tend to focus on that very much. I think I'm somebody who doesn't really attract that, but I totally feel what you're saying. And I think for somebody who has a lot of negative people in their life, it would be a really good place to start. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
For some reason that has, yeah, that hasn't been like my life's work. I just don't really attract negative people. I don't think they even like me.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
That's really funny. But, you know, I think if you have a lot of negative people in your life and you're blaming them for being negative, that would be a great place to start. It's not even really about getting them out of your life, but when you change your attitude about their responsibility and your responsibility, like everything changes.
Oh, okay. All right. So how does the coaching process work in terms of what you do?
So I do one-on-one coaching, and we just meet like this. Like, I could be coaching you right now, just chilling on the phone, you know? And it's because, yeah, because we get this one-on-one feel. And then I also do group coaching where I do four women. We do we get together on a video conference, which is really cool. So we can actually see each other, and then they get accountability buddies. And we work together for 6 months in this program. It's called Skyrocket Your Potential Group Coaching. It's really powerful because they're coming together kind of at a place in their life, right? They want similar results. They're ready for the same kind of change to happen in their life. So they get to be, it's powerful to be walking side by side with somebody who's doing similar work.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Do any of them ever talk to you about relationships and dating and things like that?
Well, you know what? In my next life, I'm definitely going to be a relationship coach and like a dating. I want to be a dating coach. Maybe I'll do it this way.
Oh, wow.
But yes, I work with something I call the four pillars of success and happiness, and relationships is the number one pillar. But, you know, I work a lot with them on relationships with themselves, because you can get into your relationship with somebody else, but until you have a strong foundation of your own self-worth and self-love and your practice and how you give yourself love and attention, then it kind of doesn't matter what you're doing with someone else. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's like you're going to just try and get those things from someone else until you've filled your own cup. You know, it's the classic, like, your own cup needs to be full. So I would say I work more with that, but dating would be super fun.
Yeah, I'm sensing that you are putting some of your own experiences in trying to in some of your coaching with others.
Yes, totally. Of course, I only teach what I know. I don't teach theories or anything scientific. You know, of course, there's some scientific evidence to the law of attraction or whatever, but that's not my style of teaching it. It's like I was a personal trainer for 13 years, and that's solely what I did. So the fitness side of things, it's like, if you're not walking the walk, it's pretty obvious, you know?
Yeah,
I couldn't. So to me, yeah, it's all about like being the person that I want to be, like that, like the most potential I have living to that. And then teaching those techniques to people, being really authentic with it, because that's to me like a really good teacher, right? As someone who's done the thing, they've gotten the results.
Yeah. And I do kind of agree with you. You have to teach and write what you know. You can't. And that's what I do. I'm also an author, and just about everything that I write, I have to put some of myself into what I write and just build a story or a book behind those things. And you can't do, something if you have not experienced it. You know, I mean,
it's more like academic, right? Like if you're like an academic scholar, you're teaching things that are a theory or a history or scientific or something. That's definitely not what a life coach does, though.
All righty. Okay. Do you have an excerpt that you can read to my audience, to the audience?
Well, I know that you mentioned that, and I was like, I'm not an author.
You told me that.
I don't really know what you mean by that. Will you explain that to me, please?
An excerpt?
Yeah, I mean, would be something that you would read out of a book you wrote, right?
Yeah, but I thought you told me that you had an excerpt. If you don't have an excerpt, that's okay. That's fine.
If you're not an author. Yeah. Right, right. No, I actually, in our correspondence, was saying that I did not have one.
Are you planning on writing a book someday?
You know, it's interesting. I thought about it because I am starting actually the group coaching. We're doing our first one this weekend, and I wrote a syllabus for the whole program. And as I was writing it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is really fun and cool. And I was writing out the details about the four pillars of success and happiness and what they really mean to me. And I got pretty juiced on the idea of writing a book about it. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, for what you do, and I'm pretty sure you have some pretty clients that are saying good things about you, and you're so knowledgeable at what you do, and you know what you're doing. Why not put it down in a book where people can go find it and buy it, download it, you know? And I think that's one of the ways you can really, really teach people.
Yeah, and I'm obsessed with listening to books on tape. I love
That's
it.
Cool. That's cool.
I love
That's
it
cool.
so much. It's really good because I have a toddler. And when you're a busy person, it's like you can just like throw it on in your headphones when you're doing dishes. Or, you know, you don't have to sit down and read a book, which I don't honestly have time for really right now.
Okay. Okay.
For that.
I guess.
So, yeah, I love that.
I guess I'm a little different. I would rather sit down and read a book than to have headphones on. It's just something about just reading a book.
Do you have a 2.5-year-old?
No, I have a 16-year-old.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, no, I'm not talking about in terms of children. I just in general I'm speaking.
No, I feel you. I'm just teasing you because I liked that same exact thing. I loved that for a long time. And then when you have a toddler, you're just like, let me get the knowledge however I best can get it. Let me plug it in my head. You know what I mean?
But you know what? I don't blame you. I wouldn't blame you for listening to books on tape, especially if you're very, very busy. You have a toddler and you're here, you're there. That's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I guess I'm saying on a quiet evening or something and you pick up a book, a good book, and you devour it. And I love reading. I'm an avid reader. Yeah, I'm an avid reader, you know.
I think I will really like the days when that is happening. I think in maybe 10 years, I'll look back and be like, wow, remember the days when I could not sit down and read a book? This is really nice that I can now. So, yeah.
But you know what you should do? Seriously, think about writing a book.
Wow. Okay. I like the encouragement. Thank you.
I mean, it's great because writing is actually therapy. It's good therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's also a stress reducer.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, but I'm just telling
totally
you what.
See that.
Yeah, it's a stress reducer, and most importantly, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun. I mean, I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. And I've talked to a lot of authors, and they say the same thing, that it's fun. So whatever you do, I mean. You know, being a life coach is what you do. Sit down and write about it. You know, I mean, put it in book form. Whereas I can tell people where to go and pick it up and buy it.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to get right on that.
Oh, yeah. You know, whenever.
Whenever.
Oh, okay. All right. No problem.
Right
no problem.
Dinner.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else you want to say that you haven't said already that you think the audience should know?
You know, I don't know exactly who your audience is, but I
some of everybody.
Their mother. Yeah, like if you're
some
every.
I mean,
busy,
go
ahead.
It's a broad audience. I mean, this show reaches around the world. It's broad, and we do have a rating system here. And each show, I can tell who listened, who didn't. Each show is archived. Each show is podcast archived, and you know I can tell when people are listening. Sometimes you know you never know when someone might call in and want to ask the guest a question. That happens. And it depends on the subject.
That'd be
fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. that'll be fun. It happens sometimes. And then you know you got people who just sit back and just listen. You know, just take it all in. You got people who are they never call a talk show. I mean, but they're listening, and their family is also there listening. You know, so and I want to say that once this show is over, once you've done the show, I can also send you a link to the show. Maybe you can put it on your website and have your fans come by and check you out. No problem.
That would be great.
All right, Jaya.
I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
Okay. You ever sat down and you were have you ever talked and sat down to with someone like I'm sitting down with you and I'm talking and all of a sudden I'm getting a thought and all of a sudden I don't forgot it. I forgot what
I was
going
to say. Have I ever forgot a thought? yes, every day. Welcome to mom life. Yep, it happens, and then you just
it happens.
Roll with the next one, right?
You got to go roll with the next one. All right. Let me ask this. What are some of the people that you've already sat down and talked to during your coaching?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the positive things they're saying about what you do?
Well, this is really amazing. I just had a last call with a woman who I've been doing private coaching with, and she's a school teacher. She's a middle school teacher. She kind of started in a bit of a hopeless place, needing really to focus on herself. The classic, like, have two kids, giving too much at work, definitely not enough focus on self. And we actually did a one-month sprint spent, which I'm not even offering anymore. This is just not enough time, but it is amazing. We spoke on just on Monday, and she was telling me that she's launching a class for middle school girls called Girls Club that is teaching them a lot of this stuff that I'm teaching people. And the name of my company is Booty, Mind, and Spirit. So I have an online fitness academy and the life coaching, right? Booty, Mind, and Spirit. It's everything. And so she said she took it. She's not using the word booty because it's middle school girls. But it's really the same principles of like teaching how to be confident, teaching self-love, teaching them how to listen to themselves and trust their own inner knowing. With middle school girls, and she really said that I inspired her to do that, and I literally am going to cry talking about it because how powerful is that?
That is powerful. That's great. Now, on the other hand, has anybody ever been negative towards you and what you're trying to do?
So not that I've ever worked with that, you know, one-on-one or that has ever spoken with me. I have an online business, right? So I have a how do you say it, like a persona or something, right, on Facebook.
Okay, great. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, people follow me on Facebook. So they're all pretty friendly. But on my business Facebook page, someone did say something mean once. But literally it was like once. So, no, I would not say – I just don't tend to attract all that much negativity because I don't even think that way. And I never would ever say anything negative about somebody else. So I think it's just not my vibe.
Okay, that's great. That sounds good to everybody. But I wish I could say that I track the positive and the negative, and I try to deal with them both.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm just not putting myself out there enough. And when I write
my book,
maybe I'll get some haters.
No. Oh, yeah, I've but you know what? When people try to give me a guff, you know, especially being negative at something that someone else called positive, I'd rather for people, if they're going to give me talk negative, talk, at least give me some constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that I could probably learn from. Just don't just, you know.
Say, yeah, oh, I totally feel you. It's the compliment sandwich. My mom taught me that when I was really young. She always said, you say, you know, I really appreciate that you did something. And also, this is like the one thing, right? But you, and then, there's definitely a way to do it. But, yeah, I feel you. A lot of people do just do the criticism. I guess I have gotten it. Maybe I just ignore it. I don't even know. I guess I can't speak on it because I don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's good for you. Do not pay attention to it because I try to ignore it too. And sometimes you can't ignore it. Sometimes you got to, you know, go head on with it. But it's out there, and I just take that with the, for me, I take the good with the bad, and I just keep going and doing what I love doing with and try to get the clutter out of my life.
Mm-hmm. Good job. I totally feel you, and I'm sure it's to be expected when you're out there and, right, like having this talk show, and it's going to bring all kinds. It will bring all kinds out.
Yeah, it will. It will. All right, Jaya. Thanks for being on the show. Is there anything you want to leave my audience with before you go?
Well, are you going to have a link to my website or anything? Because I'd love just to share my website if you want to come check out what I do. You can start working with me for $19 with my 21-day ab challenge or look at coaching with me. I mean, I have a wide array of ways for people to work with me and get started really right where they are. You don't have to be ready for some huge change in your life. It's about figuring out, being honest, right, with yourself about where you are and just starting right there. Like
all
today.
Right.
How can you get started today?
Mm-hmm.
So that,
all right.
That
thank you for being.
What I would leave you with. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Thanks for being on the show. And I'm going to get you that link. All right.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Jaya Crump. She was, as you probably heard, she was just wonderful. I love wonderful guests being on the show. They bring so much to the show, even if I don't know much. Okay, it's always wonderful and it's always great. I will be right back, folks. Stay with me. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the George Show, George Wilder Show. I want to thank Jaya Kelp for being on the show. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. I saw, you know, yeah, she's gorgeous. She's and she's a wonderful person, too. She's a lovely individual. And I thank her so much. And I will get that link to her. You know, I always give people links when they've demonstrated that they know what they're talking about. And that's what it's all about. All right, welcome back to the show. All right, thank you for that. Thank you for the applause. As if I had a... All right. Top black staffers leave the Republican National Committee. That's no news. The black people are just leaving the Republican National Committee. I guess are they becoming Democrats? I can't see why any African American would want to be a Republican, especially in this day and age of Donald Trump. I just don't see it, but it happens. And I'm always surprised at how African Americans are so in the back pocket of Trump. It's so many African Americans, especially pastors and ministers, and, you know, they are supporting Trump. I wonder if they're having any, since his last statements, I wonder if they're having any reservations about voting for him or supporting him or endorsing him. Maybe not. Who knows? The Republican National Committee is losing the person who leads the GOP's outreach to black communities. As first reported by NBC News and confirmed by the Huffington Post. All right, what it says here is Crystal Quaker Hartsfield, the National Director of African American Initiatives at the RNC, Republican National Committee, is leaving the organization to work for Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. He's a Republican, has his director and intergovernmental affairs. His last day is set to be Friday. That's tomorrow. She is the second black top staffer to depart the RNC this month. Obviously, they don't like the head of it, this guy named Philbus. What is his name? Who cares? Who really cares? All right, who really cares? Black people should be leaving the Republican Party in droves, but that's not going to happen. That's just me talking. And I want to say something about Jason Van Dyke. As soon as the break is over, we're going to talk about on the show on Block Talk Radio. I want to thank my guest, Jaya Culp, for being a wonderful and lovely guest on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm recording and reporting and broadcasting out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. You can always find me on Facebook. I'm on. Who's not on Facebook? I mean, if you think about it, just about every individual who owns a cell phone, an iPhone, a smartphone, every time you see somebody looking down at their phones, they're on Facebook. I told my son, I said, son, if you see anybody on the train when you're going to school or wherever you're going, and they're looking down at their phone, Facebook. If they're not on Facebook, they're probably playing games or something. And I noticed that everybody's with anybody's on Facebook. And if you, I'm also on LinkedIn, and I sometimes contrast Facebook and LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is a different kind of site than a social media site than Facebook. And I say this because there's two types. There's a different class of people on LinkedIn than there is on Facebook. And I don't want to say anything bad about that. You know, I don't want to say too much about that. I don't want to say anything bad about that. So, and it's just that you can contrast the two, you know. And I'm on both of them. So look me up on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. I'm even on Amazon.com, George Wilder Jr., all over the place. And I've written I've written extensively. So you guys go check that stuff out. You know, it's good stuff. I'm a storyteller. What can I tell you? Go check that stuff out. Okay. We're talking about Jason Van Dyke, the guy who was hired by the FOP. It's a union for the police. After he shot Laquan McDonald 16 times, and he's been hired as a janitor, and a lot of protests have broken out because of that around the city of Chicago. I mean, this is totally a slap in the face of those who are relatives of this young man who was shot 16 times. He was not lunging at the police. Yeah, he had a small knife. It wasn't a big knife. It wasn't a butcher knife. And yet he was walking away from the police. And Jason Van Dyke, there were several police around, but he's the one who pulled his weapon and shot Laquan McDonald, a 17-year-old African-American, 16 times. I agree with some of the other talk show hosts. They could have just tased him. They could have rushed him and subdued him by rushing him and tasing him. This guy didn't have to shoot the guy 16 times. And now this police officer who shot Laquan McDonald 16 times, I'm pretty sure you heard about, he has been given a job by his union, the Fraternity Order of Police. What does fraternity mean? It means we're going to stick by our man. We're going to stick by our brother. The police department is sticking together, giving this guy a job. If you or I went out to rob a bank and we got caught and sent to jail, do you think we could get a job? No. No, but he got a job. Let's see. He's employed. Well, they're saying that he needed to feed his family because he was, you know, was stripped of his police powers and he needed to feed his family. The bills were coming due. He's going to go to jail. He shouldn't worry about bills. But, you know, this is the culture in Chicago. Protect your own. Even if you done shot somebody 16 times. And it's a wonder how many of the police officers out here who are on this guy's side. Okay, Jason Van Dyke, the white, charged with murder after firing 16 shots into a knife-wielding black teenager in 2014, works for the Fraternal Order of Police. It's a union. The union president confirmed Wednesday. Yeah, we saw him on television saying that, yeah, he works for us. He's one of us. Yeah, but he's a murderer. Well, they're saying he's an accused murderer. He hasn't had his day in court yet. So until then, but, I mean, it's all on the video that this guy did this. WFLD-TV, Channel 32 in Chicago, first reported Wednesday night that Van Dyke was working at the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police Hall in the West Loop, because he couldn't find another job. Duh. I wonder why. You know, so the fatal shooting of Laquan Downs prompted a U.S. Justice Department investigation of the Chicago Police Department, and the city released a video. Okay, well, did we lose it? And the city released a video of the shooting in November led to the firing of police Gary McCartney. Yeah, and also Anita Alvarez losing her job. This guy led to a lot of things, and suddenly he's working. He has a job. That's a slap in the face of the black community. That's a slap in the face of the African Americans who are living in the city of Chicago. For this guy to be having a job after he'd been shot somebody 16 times. But they're still saying, well, he didn't. I mean, there's just so much going on with this story. Okay. On Wednesday night, Angelo said he then considered the idea and decided to give Van Dyke a job. He says he does this for a lot of the police officers who are caught in bad situations, who find themselves not being able to take care of their families because they've done something wrong. That's crazy. That's like saying, we don't give a damn what you do, how you do it. We're going to stick with you. You're one of us. You shot this boy 16 times, this teenager 16 times. That's all right. We're going to give you a job. That's crazy. And a lot of people are upended about this. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some demonstrations downtown. And I've heard a lot of talk shows saying that, a lot of police officers calling into talk shows saying, a lot of them are on Van Dyke's side. You know, they're calling people like me. They're saying that we want some harm causing to police officers. No, I don't want anything happening to police officers. I do think the vast of police officers are good guys, but there's also a bad element out there, you know. And I'm also hearing that police officers, they are afraid or do not want to go to the communities to make stops because of the overwhelming amount of paperwork they're going to have to do. And a lot of people are saying that's the reason why crime is so high. The police are not doing their job in these high crime areas. But this is ongoing. This is totally ongoing. And this is a conversation that a lot of people are having around the city of Chicago as I speak, because this is weird. This is strange. I mean, this is something like this has never happened. At least it's never happened to the point as we all know about it, you know. So Van Dyke, who is stripped of his police powers and is on unpaid status, makes $12 an hour from the FOP, slightly above what a typical unarmed security guard is paid. To be a jack of all trades for the union. Obviously, the person who wrote this article, they're not too keen on this happening anyway. Okay, I'm quoting, he might be on the roof. He might be in the office. I'm talking about the duties that this guy may be doing around the office. He does anything we need, Angelo said. He said it's not unpresidential. This is what he's saying. We probably had 100 people in no pay status who we got jobs or hired for the hall. 100 people. I'm pretty sure it's more than that. So people who are who have lost their police powers, who've done something totally wrong, who have cops who have proven to be corrupt, and suddenly their union, the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, hires them. That's just a slap in the face of the people, the victims of these thugs. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against police officers. I think some police officers are great. I think they're good. I think we need them. But I don't think they're doing their jobs too much if they're afraid they're going to wind up on YouTube or Facebook, you know. So, and because they don't want to, you know, do a lot of the paperwork. So it's really, really ongoing. And I have to say, I'm dismayed myself. I'm dismayed myself because, you know, if Van Dyke, he's white. If he was black, there's no way in hell. And he shot a white person 16 times in the back. There's no way in the hell they would, you know, employ this guy. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I will be right back. Thank you. All right, I've touched on this later, earlier into the show today, about the crisis at the state universities and colleges within Illinois because there's no budget and Rauner refuses to fund these vital institutions. You know, I'm going to touch on it again because I'm going to fight for my state. I'm not going to leave my state. I'm not going to leave my city. I'm going to stay here and fight for what's right. Because if you leave, that's what they want you to do. You know, these politicians, they would rather for you to leave the state than to fight back for your city and your state. But I encourage people not to leave either. Do not leave it. Fight for what you want. If it's not right, stay there and be vindicated. Stay here and be vindicated. A day after Chicago State University employees were told to turn in their keys, Governor Bruce Rauner accused Democrats of dragging out the budget crisis to try to force a tax hike. That's a total lie. Total lie. Democrats have crafted bill after bill. Let me say it this way. Democrats have crafted budget after budget after budget for this guy to sign to fund vital programs in the state of Illinois, and he refused. The only person that's dragging this crap out is Bruce Rauner, and we all know that. We all know that. as I've said earlier, this guy has been in office over a year and he hasn't done nothing constructive, positive, or anything. His poll numbers are in the 30s, maybe lower than that. He is not liked and he doesn't care. He is the reason why we do not have a budget. He's the reason why people are getting laid off at these universities. He's trying to pretend like he cares. He's trying to pretend, and he doesn't. He doesn't care. But he's trying to pretend that. I guess a few stupid people out there is going to believe it. But most people do not. At a news conference in Springfield on Wednesday, Rauner called the CSU situation, CSU is Chicago State University, okay, which is closing its doors because he refuses to fund it, and then he's blaming the Democrats. The Democrats had budget after budget after budget on his desk. He vetoed it, or he just let the legislation just sit there. And now he's trying to blame people. Rauner has been blaming the legislature for just about as long as he's been in office. He's been blaming them. If Rauner had never been elected, this would not be happening. If people would have got their asses out there to the polls in 2014, we would not have this guy, and we would have a budget. This guy is always trying to blame someone else for his failures. And we, the people of Illinois, know this. We know it. But yet he's still trying to instill in us that it's not his fault. This guy is not a this guy is not a leader. He's no governor. He's no politician. He's nasty. He's vile. He doesn't like to answer questions. I mean, if you think about it, Governor Bruce Rauner of Illinois has never ever given a Q&A session with reporters. He doesn't like to answer questions. He's the type of guy, and this is the way he's been since he's been in office in Illinois. He comes out of his wherever he comes from. He comes out of the woodwork maybe. And walks up to a damn microphone. Nobody's behind him. And he starts to tell you what he wants and what he thinks. And then he walks away from the microphone, refusing to take questions. Because we have a lot of them. He just walks up to the damn microphone every 3 months. He comes out of his cocoon or wherever he's been. And he starts saying it's my way to highway. And then he starts blaming people. And then he goes back into his cocoon and you don't see him anymore until maybe 3 or 4 months when he and his minions then cooked up something else to say. And all he ever says, it's my way, or if you boil it down, if you summarize what he's saying, it's my way or the highway. And the Democrats are to blame. That's it. That's all he's been doing for the almost a year and a half since he's been in office. Now, that is no way to lead a state. The Illinois State Constitution says the governor's office has the responsibility to fund these universities and colleges. He's breaking, like any other Republican, he's breaking the Illinois Constitution. He's basically breaking the damn law. And all that jackass can do is blame somebody else when he's the governor of Illinois. He has the power. Then he'll say, well, Illinois doesn't have the money. Yeah, but listen to this. If Illinois doesn't have the money, then why, if we gave you your turnaround agenda, you would have a budget in minutes. Somehow, folks, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't hold water. And this is one of the reasons why I'm going downtown tomorrow and protest this guy. We need a governor who's going to lead this state, not a governor who's going to let this state bleed and then blame others. He did it. It's not me. It was him. It's so stupid, you know, but that's what's happening, folks, in the state of Illinois. All right. We'll be right back. Right. I love that song. I just love that song. I used to hear it a lot when I was small, and I found it on YouTube, so I decided to use it basically to close the show with. And it's great. It's great. It's wonderful. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 7:26 p.m. in Chicago. I think I'm going to meet get away from this mic a little bit. I don't know. I'm too close. I want to thank my guest, Jaya Cope. And Jaya Cope and her insight to being a life coach and her inspiration for helping women. So we always try to have good people on the show. All right, you're listening to the George Gerard Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here. Follow me on Amazon.com. You know, I have a new website out there. I'm having trouble putting it together. You know what I'm saying? And supposedly it's free, but I'm paying for it. You know, I mean, they always say free website, free. But once you get started and once you started working on it, they're sending you email. It's saying you can get your domain name for this amount, you know. So nothing's free, folks. That's what I always tell my kid. I said, nothing is free. Because a lot of kids think that because you're the parent and they get stuff without paying for it, but they have to realize that the parent has to pay for that in order for them to have that. So, and I tell them all this, nothing is free. And I'm totally going to get this website together. And once I get this website together, I'm going to let you guys know. I've had about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 websites already, but I'm always, it seems like every other year, I'm always getting a website because something's always going wrong with the previous one. Something's always going wrong there. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Ready. Okay, someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds. That's all you've got, George. Okay, 90 seconds. What can we do in 90 seconds? Maybe less now, 60 seconds maybe. But anyway, I want to once again, I want to thank all the guests that have appeared on the show the entire week. Starting next week, Monday of next week, which is, I believe, is April 4th. If you're listening to the show and podcast, it's April 4th. And for that week, we're going to have more guests, more wonderful guests will be on the show. So you guys tune in for that, all right? We're going to have great guests next week. And we're going to have more insightful topics because I'm the one who picks the topics. I'm the one who produces the show and everything. Maybe one day my son will able to do if I can say it. I told you I get tongue-tied. Maybe one day my son will be able to do those things. Maybe. Maybe. All righty. We're just about off the air here, folks. So let's see if we can go out with this. I hope you guys join me next week. All right, we're going to have a wonderful time, wonderful guests. Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. I gotta listen to this, see how it's, and the reason why I got it loud, because shit. Okay, okay. I have to listen to it. Thank you.